All right, here we go. So this is January 5th, 2011. And it's a great occasion, actually, whether it's your birthday or the beginning of a new year or for some people the start of a school year, whatever a marker event is, you know, the 10th anniversary of your divorce, whatever it is, where it's an opportunity to kind of think newly and in a kind of formal way about, all right, really, what do I want to have happen this coming year in a real way? But what that does is it exposes us to the pitfalls of the desires that lead to suffering, right? Because we've all set goals, we've declared ourselves to others, and 3 days later, we're back to our same old, right? And we feel bad about it, or others make us feel bad about it. And then after a while, maybe we say, none of that. I don't want to do any of that goal setting. I don't want to do any conscious intending. I don't want to aspire to anything. I just want to let the process unfold, okay? And that's a pitfall too, because very often if we just sort of let the process unfold, you know, habit tendencies, which are embedded in the brain and the body altogether and embedded in our circumstances and the scripts we live with other people around us, those habit tendencies tend to have lots and lots of momentum and carry us along, so we end up a year later in much the same place we were the year before. So the question then becomes, how in the world to open up to what I'm calling here wholesome aspirations without falling into those pitfalls? And the Buddha, 2,500 years ago, had, I think, a very helpful analysis of this challenge and offered a number of solutions for it. So on the one hand, there is, as you probably know in Buddhism, this notion that the fundamental root of suffering is this word, the original word is called tanha, tanha. What does tanha mean? What is this root or source, fundamental cause of suffering? The origin of the word tanha, and it comes from the language Pali, which is from the earliest surviving written record of the teachings of the Buddha and the colloquial language of his time. Tanha comes from the word thirst. It has that feeling to it. You know, you're thirsty. You want it. You really want it. You crave it. Crave is the word that's most often used in English as a translation for tanha. All right? It's craving. It's desire where you got to have it that leads to suffering. It's wanting distinct from liking. As we go through life, we continually contact different stimuli. Some of them are outside of this. Most of them are actually inside us. A body sensation, a thought, a cell phone going off, someone talking in the foyer while we're sitting here, wishing it were more quiet, trying to concentrate, and people coming into the room moving in chairs, a thought about, you know, tax season coming only a few months away. See, I've already got you going with that one. You know, see, whatever it is, right? Stimuli arise, and they engender, you know, basically a pleasant or an unpleasant or a neutral response. That's fairly automatic. You can't get around that, basically. Certainly not in the short term. In the long term, we can indeed condition the mind increasingly to have fewer and fewer unpleasant reactions to things. But in the moment, that's kind of where we start, right? There's a stimulus of some kind. There's a sense of it being pleasant or unpleasant. Then the question is, what do we do? If it's pleasant, we like it. If it's unpleasant, we don't like it. So far, no problem, at least from the Buddhist analysis. Problem begins when we start to want what's pleasant or don't want what's unpleasant. That's where tanha comes in. That's craving right there. And then in the Buddhist analysis, suffering ensues. For example, if we really want something and we can't get it exactly, we get frustrated. Or if we want it and we anticipate it was going to be this good and it's only this good, we feel disappointed. Inevitably, what we want ends, it disappears because of impermanence. If we don't want the things that are unpleasant, if you've ever noticed, things that are unpleasant tend to persist, right? Whether it's traffic or in-laws or politics or what have you, then we get upset about it. We get reactive, right? And that is where suffering exists and lives. A lot of suffering is very subtle and mild. You know, the word suffering in English feels like anguish, terrible physical or mental discomfort. Most suffering is the daily matter of feeling frustrated, disappointed, inadequate, irritated, worried, pressed. Okay? Probably the essence of the experience of tanha or craving is a sense of being pressed. How many of you are familiar with that feeling? Okay, good. I just kind of wondered. All right, great. So that's that side. On the other hand, the Buddha also used a different word, and this is a traditional word, chanda, which is distinct from craving or thirst. We talked about this last week, if you were here, in which we went through the Buddha's own story of his childhood, where he had a moment he was recalling of being a boy who dropped into a deep state of bliss. And he recognized as an adult looking back, and that recognition was actually a critical turning point for him in his own personal story and path toward enlightenment. He recognized looking back that that bliss he dropped into as a boy was perfectly fine. It was all right that it was likable. It was all right that it was exquisitely pleasant. And it was all right to wish himself to have that kind of experience. Other examples of chanda, or wholesome desire, are the desire that people have for the welfare of others. You know, at the very end, when I did what's called the dedication of merit, or the offering, if you will, of some of the benefits that have accrued through our efforts this evening for ourselves as well as for others who are sick or dying, or in other kinds of difficulty, that wishing them well is a wholesome desire. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wishing ordinary health or well-being or safety or happiness or living with ease for oneself as well as for other beings. If you know the Buddhist practice of metta, of loving-kindness, the four kind of traditional categories of metta or loving kindness is to wish that beings be safe, be healthy, be happy, and live with ease. The last one having to do a fair amount with material circumstances. Well, just as it's perfectly fine as chanda, as wholesome desire, to wish beings well, it's really in those ways, it's fine to wish a being well in those ways who happens to wear your name tag. It's really okay. It's really okay. Right. Similarly, when you contemplate going into 2011, it's probably the case, and here's where I would like to move into more of an experiential territory, if you're willing, and always feel very free to ignore anything I say at all. Although if I do say don't burn down the building, that's worth not ignoring. But anyway, and in particular, if there's anything about the experiential practices I suggest that you don't want to do, it's perfectly okay. So here's the thing. Think of something that's been an ongoing issue or desire for you, a major matter in your life. It could be concerns about adult children. It could be a longing for love that hasn't yet been fully fulfilled. It could be a wish for the world to be a more peaceful place. It could be a desire to have a deeper level of intimacy in your romantic relationship or marriage or other form of partnering. Maybe there's a frustration about career, or maybe there's just a sense that there's a kind of an artistic emergence in you that could use room to breathe and spread its wings. Do you see the general idea? So it helps to pick one thing. So if you could pick one thing, it could also be an ongoing area in your life that you're very engaged with, like a major work project or a major family issue. It could be a business you're dealing with continually. And then in a moment, I'll invite you to find a partner, and you'll go back and forth twice. And you'll have an A and a B, A's always go first with me. Let's keep it simple. And when you're one person mainly speaks, one person mainly listens. And the first go round, when you're mainly speaking, I'd like you, if you could, for about 2 or 3 minutes, to explore how does tanha, how does craving, how does pressure, how does wanting, how does insistence, how does frustration, how does stress get involved in this major matter? Is that a clear question? How does that work, especially in terms of your mind? Not so much what happens outside you that makes that happen, but how do you get caught up in wanting with regard to this major matter? Is that question clear? Any question about that question? How do I get caught up in wanting? What happens in my mind that gets me caught up in wanting? Maybe it's a little bit related to what happens around me. When X happens, my mind really goes to Y. Okay? It's okay to name X, but mainly focus on Y. What happens inside your own mind? And then your partner will share. Then we'll go to the next round, where with regard to the same matter, where you have, you know, maybe a big dream. You know, there's kind of it's a major undertaking for you. How could you relate to it? What could you do in your own mind that would relate to this major matter from chanda rather than tanha? In other words, in a frame of wholesome aspiration. And I want to give you some examples quickly of wholesome aspiration, or ways of the ways people have, including me, into wholesome aspiration. And then we'll break up in pairs, do this, and come back and wrap it up for the evening. Okay? So, for example, one way into wholesome aspiration is there's not much sense of self in it. There's not ego in it. Right? It's not about, I want to look good. There could well be a sense of, you know, it would be nice in my life to have love. But it's not that, oh, I'm going to be so special and better than others if I have love. Another way into wholesome aspiration that people talk about is a sense of giving themselves over to a higher calling, to a higher purpose, or a lower purpose, one that's more fundamental, if you will. It's more at the ground of things. It's like a falling back into a wholesome purpose that then carries them along. Another way in to wholesome aspiration, and these are not exhaustive, I'm just naming some of the major ways in you might explore for yourself, is to see what moves your heart. I had a friend send me an email today about this project he's working with, and he says in his email, my head says I should do this, but my heart says I should do that. You know, I don't know what I should listen to. I just emailed him back, always listen to your heart, dude. You know, he and I, he's my very close friend. We talk to each other like that. Okay, you see the, okay. And you'll have your own as well. Okay, so how about you grab a partner, and it's a full house, as I said, so it's okay to spread out. We'll do this for a couple minutes each way. Feel free to move your chair, spread around the room. Try to leave a central aisle here, though. Pick an A and a B. Does anyone want a partner and not have one? Hold up your hand, okay. Anybody else need a partner? Partner? You got a partner, David? Good. Oh, you have a very good partner, David. Okay, pick an A and a B. Try to keep your voices down so it's not too clamorous. All right. So A's, the question is, how does my mind get caught up in wanting with regard to this matter? So name the matter, name this large opportunity for dreaming a big dream in 2011. Whatever this matter is you want to focus on, and then talk for a couple minutes, and I'll give you a bell, I'll give you a time signal about how do I get caught up in tanha, in craving, in wanting, in press with regard to this major matter. Okay? Begin. start wrapping it up. Okay, now same question, but bees are talking mainly. A's are mainly listening, so bees. How does your mind get caught up in wanting, in press, with regard to this particular matter? Begin. Start wrapping it up. Okay. Enough of that suffering stuff. All right. Now, same matter, same possibility, same issue, same situation, whatever, same aim. But this time A's talking. How could you be about it in a way that had energy, had purposefulness, had aiming, but did not tip into wanting, craving, suffering? Okay. In other words, how could you relate to whatever this is in a way that's more based on being buoyed and propelled by wholesome purposes, by not being attached to the results, that's a key, and by not getting caught up in insisting or taking it all personally, etc. Okay? So there you go, A's. Try to bring it out. Try to flesh it out. How could you really manifest in this matter in this coming year while avoiding the pitfalls that very often come with desire? Okay? A's, begin. start wrapping it up. Okay, A's, you're done now. B's, in a moment it'll be your turn. The question is, how could you work with your mind? How could you relate to this matter in a healthy way with regard to desire? In other words, how could you have purpose? How could you have aims? How could you have energy without getting caught up in the pitfalls of wanting and craving? Okay, B's, begin. You already solved it all. Good. Start wrapping it up. Come on back. Okay. All right, so how about succinctly from some people, if you could, just maybe raise your hand, just to keep it simple, I'll call on you. What are some of the things you came across that could help a person operate on chanda rather than tanha? In other words, what could help a person in their own mind pursue good things, dream big dreams, without getting caught up in craving? What are some things that you came across that could help? Yeah.
What I became aware of in a language I would use is that there were two young parts that were both feeling wounded and started being bounced around. So for me, what could help was bringing awareness when my mind was spinning, in this case, anger around the situation, and then also breath.
Great, super. To get you out of tanha into chanta, you know, in fact. Ah, yeah. Thank you. Great. Others? Yeah, great. Betsy? Great, thank you. Okay, good. Yeah, great, thank you. Good.
I was finding there is a kind of coexistence between one and the other. And when I'm feeling open, or when I soften around it, I am directed towards the wholesome wanting. And I can experience this project as opening, the research that I'm doing on it as just more information. And I don't even have to allow it to coalesce into a finished product or finished manuscript in this case. But I can find it like a delta, kind of meandering here and there. Then other times, it does coexist, but oh, if I sell this, I'll have $1 million.
May you have $1 million.
Yeah, $1 million on the delta side, on the drowning river raging side. I'm just desperate for it.
Yeah.
But I can also navigate myself a little bit, even more than a little bit actually. But I can go over to how I'm enjoying the more meandering part of it.
Great, thank you. Got it. A few others? Great. Over there? Oh, great. Good. Thank you, Tom. Great. Yeah. Anybody else? Great.
Well, I guess it's just the really scary thing.
To ask for what you want. Yeah. Okay.
So just being willing to have people say no. You know, that's the thing. It's like scary.
Yeah.
That's some kind of rejection. So you just have to be really willing to give them space to say no. It's okay.
Yes. And,
and that's the generosity to the other person who they'll say yes to. person who's going to get what you want. Let them have that. Mm-hmm. Wish them well.
No, you have
to grow up. Get out of the way and grow up.
Okay. Maybe one last person. Great. Shelley.
Maybe approaching something like
more curiosity. Playfulness and joy, she was saying, as well as curiosity. Yeah. I can see that this topic of how to orient to something that we really care about. The reason we're talking about it is because we care about it. How to orient to it in a frame of, I would say, motivation without attachment, right? We're motivated and we're on our own side about it and helping ourselves do scary things, let's say, but we're not caught up in needing or insistence or drivenness or tension or pressure about it, right? Got to have it, desperation. This topic I can see I'm going to spend more time with you about. And respecting the evening and the time, I'd like to do a little brief guided practice with you and end on that one, knowing that there are a lot of loose ends, there are a lot of worms that are out of the can. We haven't really woven them all together into some pretty tapestry yet. That's an image, a tapestry made of worms, but we won't go there. Okay, so if you will, eyes closed or not as you like, it's okay. This will be about 5 minutes, so we're going to go a few minutes over, then we'll wrap up there. All right, and then we have to be out of this building, by the way, by 9 o'clock altogether, so we'll end fairly quickly after when I ring the bells. So if you could, bring to mind some particular longing of the heart. And it could be the matter, the topic that you have been reflecting about. It even could be something that surprises you right now that just comes up. Some deep down longing of the heart. And we'll focus on one here, and there could well be others. So know what that longing is, and open to it, and find what's in it that's beautiful, that's fine, that's healthy. And then see if you can get a feeling for aiming for this desire, aiming for this result without being attached. See if you can find or imagine what it would be like in 2011 to go after this longing in a real way without being attached to the result. As you can, make it concrete. For example, imagine putting up your profile on a dating site without being attached to the results. Or asking for what you want without being attached to the results. Or sending off your manuscript to some potential publishers, hoping for the best, but without being attached, without craving a result. Maybe trying to bring more passion or more closeness into your marriage or your primary relationship. And really pursuing that in a strong way without being attached to the result. And then as you imagine the year unfolding, in which you pursue this aim without being attached to the result, imagine this aim coming true in realistic ways. Maybe the process itself of opening and aiming without attachment itself is bringing you the result you long for. See if you can get a sense of the result you long for being present in your body, how it would feel in your body to have it be real. Allowing and opening to this longed for result without being attached to it. May you be fulfilled this year without attachment. Hopefully I'll see you next week with James Barras here. And feel free to bring a friend. It would be a great first event for a person.